Ms. Adams, if you're ready, I think we should begin because I have to go get my COVID shot and my flu shot.
So. I got a flu shot today. I did not get the COVID shot yet. I need to. But yes, let's do the show.
Yes. All right. Hey, everybody. I'm Kai Ryssdal. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense.
And I'm Kimberly Adams. Thank you, everyone, for joining us on this Monday, October the 23rd.
All right, we'll do some news, some smiles, you're talking farm bill? What are we doing on the farm bill?
Nothing, which is exactly the issue.
I did not plant that as a straight line. Oh, man.
So nothing is not technically accurate, but the farm bill is one of the many things that is expiring as Congress is the cluster that it is, or the House, I should say, specifically the House Republicans, as we point out. But there is business of government that needs to be done. The Farm Bill is a massive piece of legislation up for renewal every 5 years. It's about to expire. This controls things like SNAP benefits and crop insurance and food lunch programs and many things related to climate change, things that, like, you know, are the bread and butter, literally, of how we get food in this country that matter a lot for our economy as well as for our stomachs. So, and health and poverty and great number of things. So anyway.
Yeah.
Politico has an ag newsletter that had a scoop last week. And like for the special people who pay a lot of money, they got the scoop on Friday. But the rest of us got it this week about the Democrats on the ag committee in the House basically freaking out because they discovered that the Republicans on the ag committee were working on pulling some of the money from the Inflation Reduction Act that was supposed to be used for sort of conservation efforts related to agriculture, and put it in other things and move it around. It's super inside baseball, which actually will matter down the road. And I'm sure we'll do some reporting on it as the legislation gets more beefed out. But the larger point is that there are still some people in the house. What is going on outside? It's like dogfight out there. Anyway.
Out by you, not by here, right? My dogs are inside.
No, by me. I'm like hearing dogs outside. Anyway. But this idea that they are negotiating, mostly behind closed doors, the framework of this massive piece of legislation that is going to be overdue. And when it does come out, we're probably going to get yet another massive piece of legislation that very few people have time to look at. But it can't even really move because we're also distracted by everything else happening in the House. Mm-hmm. And this is a huge deal. And this was actually flagged to me by the people over at the Environmental Working Group, which is a climate advocacy group. And one of the things that they also were pointing out is that one of the things under the Farm Bill that is being negotiated is crop insurance. And in 2022, crop insurance costs reached their highest ever. I'm going to read just a couple points from this. Crop insurance indemnities paid out a record $19.1 billion to farmers in 2022. Payments were largely concentrated in just 10 states and covered mostly four commodity crops. And the crop insurance program only protects around 20% of farms. And here's the killer. EWG also discovered that during the past 22 years, insurance indemnities or payouts to farmers for reductions in yield or revenue rose significantly from $2.96 billion in 2001 when current subsidy levels were set to a record $19.13 billion in 2022, an increase of well over 500%.
Do we know why crops and yields are down? Climate change is the obvious
Climate change and also, the folks at EWG believe that the current system incentivizes continuing to grow things that have a high risk of loss, maybe take a lot of water or are very sensitive in places where the climate is no longer allowing it because there's no cap basically on the crop insurance program and you'll get your money back. And a lot of this is concentrated with really big farmers who own a lot of land and end up, you know, being made whole by U.S. taxpayers. And, you know, we need farming in this country. And the reason the crop insurance program exists is because it's really hard to be competitive in agriculture on the global market, you know, given the United States. And so, like, this is a system that was designed for that, but it's getting extraordinarily expensive and not necessarily benefiting all farmers. And it's just another example of work that Congress could be doing to fix what may be a fixable problem, you know, maybe reevaluating this program in light of climate change. But instead, we're, you know, casting our lots to see which of the 9 Republicans can curry the favor of whoever today.
Do you and I ask this question not to put you on the spot because I'm genuinely curious and I haven't really kept up with it. Have you seen any recent polling on public opinions of Congress in the last
17% last I checked?
And that was
17%. Hold on, I looked this up.
Was it pre Kevin McCarthy getting the boot or post? I mean, it's got to have gone down, right?
Let me look. 2 days ago on 538, got Do Americans approve or disapprove of Congress? Disapprove 65.9%, approve 19.4%. So this was a Harvard University.
I'm surprised it's that high.
Yeah, Harvard University Center for American Political Studies has 30% approve and 62% disapprove. YouGov, The Economist, approved 16%, disapproved 67%. Yahoo News has an that ran October 12th to the 16th, approved 12%, disapproved 65%. I mean, none of it's good. I think the one I looked at that saw 17% was Gallup a little bit ago. But yeah, here we go. Here's Gallup. When was the last time they looked? Congress and the public. Yeah, theirs is 17% as of September. So the last time they ran their poll.
Right. So pre-McCarthy. So I will bet you money they'll be in the mid to high single digits. I mean, come on.
I mean, I imagine their October one's going to come out soon. They look at this every month. So we should have that answer relatively quickly.
We should. We will.
All right. What's your news?
So here's mine, also climate change-based and a little bit more discouraging than crop yields due to climate change. We're all going to be underwater due to climate change. There's a report out today in Nature Climate Change, providing a revised estimate of what the coming decades hold in terms of climate change and, more importantly, melting of the Antarctic ice sheet. And here's what it says. Even if we cut our emissions as we are supposed to do, the West Antarctic ice sheet is going to start melting even faster. Could lead to the most significant sea level rise over the course of centuries, rather. The West Antarctic ice sheet, which is the ice sheet in question, holds 767,000 cubic miles of ice on land. So a cubic mile is, of course, a mile by a mile high by a mile deep. 767,000
square miles.
Yes. And it is melting even if we do everything we're supposed to do. And I just, that one got me today, and it just added to the general miasma of just horrible, terrible news that there has been lately. I just, yeesh. Anyway, so, you know, that's it. So I just wanted to throw that out there. It's in Bloomberg if you want to read it. We'll have it on the show page, of course. You know, it's one of those stories you would have missed because of all the other news, which is happening.
Yeah.
Out there, which is a lot.
What a hopeful start to our week.
Yes. Sorry about that. Juan Carlos, hit us up.
Hey, it's real life. It's real life.
It is. That's totally right. And look, we make no bones about it on this podcast, right? I mean, we tell you what the news is and what we think about it because it's real life. And while you can take a break from it every now and then, and I highly recommend it, and I did it last week, and it was glorious to not be on the news all the time, the news is life, and you got to be up to speed. Anyway, sorry, go ahead. What do you got?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, sorry. Hold on. I'm just reading the URL of this piece in the rundown, and it says jump scare horror movies. And no, that's all. That's all. Just
see, I chose this story because you and I are of the same spirit on this, of actively disliking horror movies and jump scares. Because why? Because why? There's enough scary stuff
scary.
In the actual world.
Because they're scary.
Right? So this is actually from the Washington Post Department of Data, which I love, and it's an analysis. The headline is actually, "What's Killing the Jump Scare?" And since 2014, the number of jump scares cranked out by Hollywood has fallen precipitously, I'm reading here, according to Where's the Jump, a remarkable catalog of over 1,000 movies funny. That documents the timestamps of slamming doors, sudden attacks, and other startling moments that can make viewers jump. And so jump scares are in decline, which is good for the both of us. And there's a lovely chart documenting the decline of jump scares. Apparently, it hit a peak in like 1981. But movies have had fewer jump scares since 2014. In 2003, Freddy versus Jason captured 24 jump scares. but it's been on the decline since then. And there are amazing charts and wonderful, wonderful things. This made me happy. I don't particularly love the imagery of some of it because they really lean into the slasher. There's a graph on here that's clearly designed to look like slashes from like a knife. They had fun with this one, but more so, I'm happy because there are fewer jump scares because I don't need that kind of stress in my life.
No, totally. Totally. Yes. All right. So mine, on the face of it, might not seem happy, but it really is. And I'm just going to call you out here on the pod, Bridget Bonner. So she slacked me before we turned the microphones on. And she said, "So you've got melting ice sheets and dead dogs for today. Happy Monday to you too." So it's not really about dead dogs. It's about the oldest dog in the world. He was 31. He died. It's about 217 in dog years. But here's the deal. This dog was around for 31 years. His owner, when he died, the owner was 8 years old when this dog was born. I just think it's a cool little story about dog love and pets and all this stuff. It's a dog in Portugal. It's a guard dog called Bobby. I don't know how much guarding he was doing in his later years. But it was a, hang on a minute.
The most. He was doing the most. He was a great guard dog.
Right. Exactly.
He was doing a great job.
That's exactly right. He was a Rafeiro do Antelejo, a breed of Portuguese dog that has an average life expectancy of some 10 to 14 years. And this guy doubled it and then some. And I just think it's great because dogs, come on. I've got a 13-year-old dog now who, I mean, she's going well, but at some point it's going to be very sad. And I just wanted, you know, a little dog love. That's all. That's all.
That's sweet. That's sweet. That's all. Look, I got Jasper when he was 10. And he's 14 now, and I did quite a bit of research on the, you know, average lifespan of Savannahs. And, you know, supposedly I can get a good, you know, 6-7 years out of him still.
Excellent.
You know,
there you
go. Keep his asthma in check.
There you go.
God.
There you go.
Yeah. Gotta love our animals.
There you go.
Yes. All right, that is it for us today. Tomorrow, instead of our usual deep dive, we're going to bring you a special episode of Marketplace's Morning Report with our wonderful friend David Brancaccio and the Morning Report crew. And it's about the video game industry and what that industry can teach us about the economy. So look out for that in your feeds. It's super interesting.
We will be back on Wednesday. Till then, keep the questions and comments coming. We are, as you know, at makemesmart@marketplace.org. 508-UB-SMART is how you can get us on the phone. Actually, I think it's probably just an answering machine. I don't think it's an actual human being, but you know what I mean. Unless, like, Bridget.
I mean, with AI, are we going to be able to tell?
Bridget's going to answer the phone one day. That's all I'm saying. Make Me Smart is produced today. Today is clearly Guy pounds on Bridget all day because she said a mean thing to him. Make Me Smart is produced by Courtney Bergsinger. Today's program was engineered by Juan Carlos Torrado. Ellen Rolfes writes our newsletter. Our intern is Neil Farshabandi.
Marissa Cabrera is our senior producer. Bridget Bodner is the director of podcasts
we
and a very
Bridget.
Nice person. And Francesca Levy is the executive director of digital.
We
love Bridget. Just give her a hard time every so often.
That's right.
Daily.
She's probably not even listening anymore.
Oh, I'm on the Zoom.
Oh my God. We got to figure out a way to get that sound in there.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Jerez, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.